If you scour the vast reaches of the internet, the television, whatever, chances are you probably have heard someone who's famous talking about how they are some version of a Christian. So how do we think about that, navigate that, process that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. So what we're going to talk about is how to navigate thinking about famous people being Christians, which is, has some stakes, doesn't have some stakes. I mean, it's sort of important, it's sort of not important in another regard, but either way, that's kind of what we're going to do. And so, I guess first and foremost, sort of a funny question, I guess, but who's your favorite celebrity? Like a celebrity that you're just like, yep, ooh, I like that person.
Man, that's a hard question.
Yeah, that's
dude, what a brag.
I'd probably have to break mine down into athlete and then like celebrity.
Okay, so let's just go athlete and non-athlete. My non-athlete would be Jack Black. He's really funny. Minecraft movie's great. School of Rock is great. He's a talented musician. I just think Jack Black's funny. Seems like a generally pretty likable guy. I like Jack Black. I think he's cool.
Yeah.
And of course, my athlete, 100% bona fide, straight up, from the east to the west.
The Akron Hammer?
The Akron Hammer.
Mm. December 31st.
LeBron Raymond James.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'll go straight off that. I mean, obviously, athlete-wise, we think about a guy that's 6'9", 250, the caliber of an athlete from Akron, Ohio, born on December 31st,
GOAT,
LeBron Raymond James. He's my favorite athlete, man. No one can compare.
Would that be what the kids call glaze nowadays?
Okay, yes. You're pushing
LeBron. Through. LeBron's a guy you can glaze. Yeah. Understand? It's like he's glazeless. Yes,
he came back from 3-1. You can't glaze him.
Oh my gosh,
he does things you can't even fathom.
He's like Jake Lloyd. You know, like
I would like to point out. Speaking of that, this is totally random, but I've failed to tell Jake that one of the reasons I think that Chris beat South Point is because Colin Franks was there.
Franks was in attendance, and it really fired me up.
Franks is a good
one. He walked in, and I was like, Colin Franks.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
Yeah, I saw him.
Colin Franks walked in, and I was like, you know what? They're going to win now.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next? Who else?
All right. I'd say favorite athlete. I think I got to go Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is a good, winner. Not going to talk about his off-the-course stuff. Really not.
Yeah.
A lot of
– why enter if you don't want to win?
Yeah. But – when he was in his prime, I mean, dang near unstoppable. 2019 Masters, absolute. It was awesome to watch.
2019 Masters was cool.
Great comeback. And I think he honestly could have won the PGA Championship the year before, too.
Okay, dude, we don't need your golf analysis.
Then he won the Zozo Championship.
All right.
Favorite non-athlete celebrity? I'm going to have to go with Loki. I said this earlier in the other podcast. Give me Denzel Washington. I love Denzel Washington.
Denzel's a solid dude, man. Makes some good movies.
I love his movies. I go on record and
say The Equalizer.
I've never seen a movie Denzel Washington is in besides Gladiator 2.
Also pretty public with his faith.
Yeah, public with his faith. So. Great actor, though.
I've got a non-athlete. I didn't get to say mine, but my non-athlete, I'm going to go with someone related to this podcast, kind of like we're talking about faith stuff, Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Chris Pratt, man. He's pretty cool. Movies are great. I mean, some of his movies are phenomenal. Some, not too good.
What do you think about Guardians of the Galaxy? Y'all like them?
Number one, number two is fine. Number three was a little weird for me. I know everybody really liked it.
Whoa.
It was pretty good, but it was pretty out there. I thought it was kind of a strange
number
movie.
Three made me cry. Top five Marvel, Loki.
Okay, not top five. Top 10 Marvel. It is not a top five.
Top 10 Marvel.
Top five is a horrible take.
We'll get into the Avengers movies later.
Top 10 Marvel.
We'll talk about Avengers movies for another podcast because it would be a 3-hour conversation.
Favorite non-athlete. Jesus, bro. Come on.
Seriously. Oh, my God.
That was a joke.
All
right. I'm being for real. Robert Downey Jr. I always
like that. Oh, my God. Great pull.
RDJ.
Not just Iron Man.
Have you guys ever seen the RDJ Sherlock movies?
Yes.
Those are my favorite movies.
They're so good.
Thank you.
Oh, dude. So good.
Praise God. Somebody has seen these movies.
Tropic Thunder?
Never seen it. Never seen it.
Sherlock Holmes movies are
Sherlock movies are gas.
Phenomenal. Favorite athlete. I have two, Peyton Manning and Albert Pujols. You might know who that.
Albert Pujols is giant.
He played for way too long though. Needed to retire five years early.
He completely did. But I remember let me say this real quick. The first baseball game I ever went to, I'm a Braves fan, so we watched the Braves play the Cardinals when he was there. He hit a home run like very close to where we were, and I was a little kid, and I like devoted myself to like this is the coolest guy ever, and he was my I was number five forever because he was number five.
Can I just say it shocks me absolutely zero that you're a Peyton Manning fan. I don't know why that's unsurprising to me. But you just seem like a Peyton Manning guy.
Same
a lot of people say we have the same forehead.
I'm just kidding. Was that where Pujols on that team? The crazy highlight of Joe Buck of "We Will See You Tomorrow Night." Is that
he was on that team. In the World Series against the Rangers?
Those are some great.
Yeah, that was
probably
crazy.
The slowest man ever.
May have been the best hitting first baseman ever. If we want to talk
about
that,
like, that's not crazy.
Especially
at all.
In his prime,
it's not crazy.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I do like Peyton Manning. I was always a big fan of his.
Now, he is pretty funny.
Now you can say greatest hitting first baseman might be Bryce Harper because you know he's playing first.
Get out of here with that.
Okay, I know this. All right, but what about this is not really related. What about David Ortiz game five walk off?
Game five walk off.
Grand slam.
What year?
2013, the year they won it. The year they won it. You're talking about at Boston. Was it in the ALS?
It was at Boston. He hit
no,
it.
No, it was later.
I'm starting to feel like right Emma because now, now you're talking baseball and I don't really care.
Yeah, that was and he threw the bat like
shout
that.
Out, shout out Emma Short for real.
My dad was a huge big
but,
poppy.
But
fan.
See, like, he was more of a DH.
I know he just mainly hit. But dad loved
big
when
poppy.
He was
the Yankee lose. Y'all see that this year?
Yeah.
John gets what I'm saying.
I know you're talking.
They don't.
Anyways,
unpopular opinion: baseball is more fun to watch than football in the playoffs.
That is one of the worst.
No, playoffs, baseball is different.
I'm not going to say it's better, but it is pretty fun to watch playoff baseball.
Yeah. Dude, we just witnessed probably the greatest World Series in the 2000s.
Oh my gosh!
This year,
the Blue Jays should have won that game.
I agree, but like it was crazy. Cooper's looking at me like I'm stupid.
I can't get over the fact that you said that playoff baseball is more entertaining to
playoff
watch than
baseball.
Football.
It is
the only thing more fun to watch than playoff baseball is March Madness, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I love football. I love watching it, but it's March Madness, playoff baseball.
Yeah.
I would even throw playoff hockey up there, too.
Playoff baseball is a horrible take.
There's no environment. There's no environment like playoff baseball.
Oh, dude, just go to one
playoff
game.
Baseball is the greatest environment in sports.
Greatest environment in sports.
That's probably the worst take I've ever heard.
Environment in sports, hot take, fourth is late round high school football. High school football.
We're going to take a minute. We're going to kick Gabe out of here.
Playoff
we'll
high school football is so much fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh. What it has been. Dude, we get it. You were good in high school. Move on. You graduated already.
All right, man.
We get it. Okay.
Hey, Gabe was a 4-star long snapper. How about you?
Bro's pushing 20 in the Big 2-6. Okay, it's time to move on. Anyways, Coffee with Friends is a podcast about faith and practice meant to inform and encourage people to live a life on mission for the gospel. I'm Cooper.
I'm Gabe.
I'm John Harmon.
And I'm Lucas.
And today we're going to be talking about, we're talking about Christian celebrity culture. Now, this can go a myriad of ways. John was asked by one of his students, essentially, how do I navigate and think about someone like a C.J. Stroud, a professional athlete, like a famous person sort of professing Christ publicly, maybe at a press conference, an interview, whatever. How do we sort of think about these people and what they're doing and what it means for us? Is it super important? Is it not really important? That's sort of our roundtable discussion. And that's where we're going to start. So first, I'm gonna read this. I think this principle applies here. This is not necessarily what Jesus is talking about, but I think this principle applies. This is in Luke chapter 9. So John answered Jesus, Master, we, the disciples, saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to John, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. Now, really quickly, that's been used to probably been the truth I'm trying to parse out here has been wielded in the wrong direction in a number of ways. But I think probably what Jesus is getting at here is essentially, if this man is really doing the work that we are doing, though he may not necessarily be in our cohort, it's probably fine to just leave it alone, right? Because if it's not really against us, it's for us. Now, this is not to say that, I mean, a whole other discussion, but this is not an apologetic for ecumenical denominationalism or the Mormons or whatever, who are not Christians, by the way.
Yep.
It's not to say any of that stuff is...
Neither of Jehovah's Witness.
I think as it pertains to our conversation here about athletes, I think this principle of sort of anyone professing the name of Christ is better than no one professing the name of Christ, I think is probably pretty accurate. So really quickly, let's just roll through a list of people that you know have either professed to be a Christian publicly that are celebrities, or they have said like Christian things publicly as celebrity. Like John's made a list for us here. We've got Taylor Swift, Tim Tebow, which is obvious, CJ Stroud from Ohio State. Really lots of guys from Ohio State recently.
I put that on there because they're kind of having this revival thing, which looks really cool. I don't know a lot about it.
Justin Fields is one. Travion Henderson was one who plays for the Patriots now. He played running back there. Chris Pratt, actor, Star-Lord from the MCU.
Yep.
Kanye, future president of the United States. Justin Bieber, a really interesting one, maybe one of the more controversial
Started
ones.
Started singing gospel music.
A whole litany of politicians from everywhere, from the Oval Office down to your probably local people who run. What are some others? Y'all think of others?
Travis Hunter recently got baptized and got questioned on Sunday. Why did you get baptized on Sunday before?
Some people actually criticized him.
Yeah, he criticized.
They were like, you need to be locked in. You don't need to be thinking about
that.
And
he was like, well, it's just important that I did. It's what I wanted
to do. There was a professional football franchise that just recently, like in the last couple of years, like baptized a bunch of guys like at a hotel.
The Eagles.
Pool. It was the Eagles.
Yeah. The year they won the Super Bowl.
Eagles, the year they won the Super Bowl.
Carson Wentz. I'll throw one out there. One of my favorite music artists right now, Daniel Caesar.
Claims to be a believer.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. He's one I want to talk about a little
bit. Did you know there
are in the same realm as Justin Bieber?
There are several bands that I think claim to be Christians, quote unquote, that maybe people may not know. Owl City is one of them.
Creed.
Really?
Fireflies. Creed was one of them. Don't the guys from 21 Pilots claim to be believers?
They claim to be. Well, I know at least one of them. I think it's Joshua Dunn claims to be a believer.
Ooh, who is that?
Sick band.
Who was the guy that played basketball at Florida State who's with the Orlando Magic? Isaac? Last name Isaac?
Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah,
He first got to Orlando.
Because he's made his own like Christian clothing brand.
Y'all want to know this. Who's the dude from Duke that retired like a year ago because he accepted Christ? He came in the league like 2020 or so.
Was it Cam Reddish?
I can't believe he retired because he accepted Christ.
Yeah,
was it Cam Reddish? I can't remember who it
was. Cam Reddish.
But he retired because he accepted Christ. Pretty cool.
So anyways, there's a lot of them.
Something else I thought about, I just thought about this. The Texas Rangers in baseball, the year they won the World Series, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, like 22? I think it was 23.
Yeah.
They win the World Series. They were the only team that year that did not celebrate Pride Month. And I just thought that was pretty cool.
That's become a big thing.
The Eagles baptized people and they won.
That's become a big thing in baseball and in hockey, right? Because hockey gets played during the month of June.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Like football don't have to worry about that because Pride Month is June. But understood. So in light of that, what we're really trying to think about and sort of navigate is as these people, these famous celebrities – stand up and say either I'm a Christian or I believe in the things of the Bible or whatever. I mean, it could be something as overt as a gospel presentation or something as simple as sneaking maybe Christian adjacent lyrics into a song. How is it that we want to go through thinking about this?
Yeah, hang on 1 second. Real quick. The guy's name was A.J. Griffin from Duke.
It
says
AJ
right here,
Griffin.
He was 21 years old. And posted a video, I gave up basketball to follow Jesus. Now, what that means, I'm not sure, like, what he's doing. But still, as a 21-year-old who has your future in the NBA, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So how do we think about this? I'll just kickstart the conversation because I've thought about this a lot. Let me just offer a sort of a reflection here. One of the things we had to be super careful of as it pertains to, I mean, this may apply to celebrities. That's sort of our conversation. This applies to almost anybody that ever says anything in front of you, though. Mm-hmm. You have to remember two things. You have to remember, one, that everybody's spiritual maturity is a work in progress. Yep. And so if you know them really well, you probably know what that looks like for them. If you don't know them really at all, you really have no idea what that looks like for them. You know? Famously, I tell a story of a guy we used to go to church with. His name was Danny Eastock, and Danny was a really rough dude. And Danny became a believer during the ministry of our church at Westside Fellowship. And Danny was very obviously, he was very obviously given a new heart, but Danny very obviously also needed to break a lot of bad habits. And so if you just had a random conversation with him and you just looked at him, you would think, wow, no way this guy's a Christian. But it's because his spiritual maturity was a major work of progress. But I firmly believed, at least the last time I was with him, that he's a believer. But there's also this sort of notion that, like, on the, like, that's the first thing you have to always remember, that people's spiritual maturity is a work in progress. You don't really know them. The second thing that I think you always have to keep in consideration is that, like, at the end of the day, I don't know them personally, so what does it technically really matter? Mm-hmm. That's sort of my take. Now, for the four of us here at the table, you know, people that are members of my local church, people in my family, friends of mine that go to other church, people I know personally, I feel like I have some sort of Ezekiel 3 obligation a little to sort of be my brother's keeper. But like when Justin Fields says something in a press conference, I feel like the only judgment I really need to cast is on like, yeah, that's true or that's not true. I don't really feel an obligation to follow him around and make sure I hear everything he says and decide if he's a Christian or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Am I making 100%. Sense?
Yeah. If the name of Christ is proclaimed in the right sense of way, like if they're not getting up there and they're saying something that's heretical about Christ or something, then we should be like, wait, hold up. With their son, Justin Fields, for example, or C.J. Stroud, who have been in press conferences, has said stuff about Christ, has openly professed it. If they're saying what's pretty much true that we believe, then we're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let it be proclaimed. But if it's falsely, then...
One of the craziest things I ever read that Paul wrote was from Philippians, where he talks about there are people actually preaching the name of Christ for selfish gain, is what he says. Now, how that looked, I'm not exactly sure. He was like, some do it out of love, and they do it because they want to honor Christ, but some do it selfishly. And so... I remember first reading and I'm like, Paul's about to get on to him. Like, you just need to get rid of them. But his conclusion is, what is it to me? The good news is that Christ is being proclaimed, whether it's out of selfish reason or not. And I remember I first read that, I was like, I was not expecting him to say that. Because he said some pretty stern things at times. And I think we can definitely take that here, is that through these celebrities, truthfully, we can make the evaluation, a lot of them probably are doing it for personal gain. A lot of preachers today of churches do it for personal gain. That you see, they do it strictly for financial reasons, like at Dallas Baptist Church.
The Dallas Baptist Church, their pastor, he's the worst.
But
only real ones know where that quote came from. Shout out Molly Short, what a dog.
But yeah, so I think that's a good verse that we could take away, that the good news is that Christ being proclaimed.
I think when it comes to us, I agree with what you say about Christ being proclaimed. I also
the Bible says it.
Yeah, I think. Oh yeah,
that's your opinion.
Great point from Paul. I really like how he articulates his thoughts there. I think one thing too, when it comes to determining and kind of seeing people and people who are like we consider famous athletes, whatever, and if they're proclaiming the gospel, I'll quote Pastor Philip Anthony Mitchell. You know, we'll judge them by their fruit. Mm. Yep, so that's another good thing, is if someone is actually. Obviously, that's also a quote from the Bible, or it's an idea from the Bible. But I say all that to say, I think that something we also have to do is, if someone is proclaiming Jesus, someone is proclaiming the gospel, someone is proclaiming this, it's like, yes, it's great that they're doing that. And if we're worried about they themselves, like, okay, well, we'll kind of judge them by what, you know, we see from the outside. And like you said, it's rather hard to do that with someone you don't really personally know.
True.
So...
Okay, so let me
make a claim on that, because I'm thinking about this. I fully agree with what you said, but I think about John the Baptist. Like, when he likely did not know Herod personally, but the fruit that he sees from his life is like, hey, you're claiming to be the king of the Jews, and you're doing some pretty wicked stuff within your family with women and things like that.
Yeah.
He goes up to him and like points him in the face, like basically like, you're not the real leader, you're sinning, you need to repent. I'm not saying that we do that. I'm just saying we kind of see a little, a little different point of view.
Yeah, no,
I'm not saying that we do that to people.
So let me posit this question for discussion, because I think you're hitting at a really sort of the problem and the nuance here. So the overcorrection that people make is they live and die by quotes. So the overcorrection could be they're not a Christian because they blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, they go to this school. You know, like he's not a, like hypothetical example, he's not a Christian because he committed to a liberal school. Okay. Or they say, no, he's a believer because he said it one time 10 years ago at a press conference. He's definitely a believer.
Yeah.
He's just learning to grow.
He wrote John 3:16 on his eye black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the overcorrection. The undercorrection is sort of leaning to what I said, which is like, it's something you're militating against a little, which is, man, I don't really know him, low key. So I don't really know that I even really necessarily care that much. So the undercorrection is you essentially cast no judgment on anything that they say or do. The overcorrection is you take the smallest soundbite possible and build a theology off of it.
Yeah.
How do we navigate landing sort of in the middle? Because you could have someone like Kanye West. He came out publicly as a Christian a few years ago, made this music. It seemed like his life was turning around.
Dropped a banger of an album.
And then he like psychologically, theologically really went off the deep end. And so a lot of people at the time were saying, hey, let's wait and see, let's wait and see, let's wait and see. When situations like that and similar to that arise, how do you navigate and sort of land it? Because I think you need to land in the middle. How do you land in the middle? How do you think through these things?
I do think there is value in giving it time to see, because time will tell when we evaluate. Like we've mentioned this word fruit, the fruits of the Spirit coming from Galatians 5. I have that pulled up, but I'm going to read it real quick. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I know I just went pretty quickly through those, not saying the believer just every moment of the day is exhibiting those. Hopefully they are, but you will begin to see evidence of a changed lifestyle if this person is genuine. And also, it's a lot, we forget this sometimes. If you just go three verses previous, the acts of the flesh are obvious. So people who don't have the Holy Spirit, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. And there's a few more that you can continue to go on through. But I know Christians, mm-hmm. I myself have had jealousy in my heart at times. I've had fits of rage where I've gotten overly angry. I've had selfish ambition. So to just simply see them do that one time doesn't disqualify them from the faith. Otherwise, we would all be disqualified from it. So
why?
Say again.
Why?
Why what? What
else? Why does them doing that one time not disqualify them like it wouldn't disqualify me?
Because of the blood of Christ. We are eternally saved by His grace.
And because tangibly, they live their life in front of a camera and I don't.
Mm. That's true. That's
a good one point. Of the things I think is always important to remember about celebrities, for better or for worse, I'm not condoning or justifying things particularly, but this particularly comes up around political issues. This is one of the worst takes I've ever heard, and I hate when people say this. So if I'm talking about you, write this down. Well, I don't really care what such and such thinks about who needs to be president. Well, you're telling us who you think, and you're a nobody. You have 100 followers. For better or for worse, what is conceptually wrong with hearing who Taylor Swift or LeBron or Tiger Woods are going to vote for president than you blasting it on Facebook? There's no difference. Just because you might think they're wrong is a different discussion, but I say all that to make this point. I do think in some cases we ought to extend more grace to celebrities than we do because they're living their life on the public record and you're not.
Yep.
That doesn't change the fact that they may be wrong or right or whatever, but I tend to be very hesitant to cast judgment immediately, not because I'm altruistic and I'm great or whatever, but it's because, like, man, nobody's ever put a viral clip of me asking about abortion on Twitter. Nobody's ever done that to me. And so, I mean, well, you know, he got asked about gay marriage on the Larry King show and said whatever. It's like, man, I ain't never been on Larry King. Mm-hmm. So I can't really say that I would have handled that better. Like, we're so quick to judge them because what they say is on the public record and what I say is not. I mean, I feel weird preaching on a live stream because I'm going to say something wrong. I probably have said something wrong one of these Sundays. And so sort of to your point, John, of like they do have fruit. If we see them one time, one place, not exhibiting it, we can call sin, sin, and say it's bad. Yeah. But like, I'm not going to jump off the top rope and say, oh, Justin Bieber's lost because of his standing on business that's not clocking to you moment. Like, which is really funny, by the way. But like,
what a pull.
Yeah, there's so much nuance that like, we don't give them enough. We don't give them the grace that we're so often begging for. And I don't think it's fair to them.
Yeah.
You know?
I can agree with that.
100%. 100%.
So what do you think about, like, let's take the sports world. We're all sports guys, okay? What do you think about athletes, professional athletes, guys you've even played with before that are not necessarily famous, sort of invoking the name of Christ as they play? What are good examples of that, bad examples of that? What are things that you have seen that you're like, yeah, that's cool, things that are not? Just sort of talk to me about that.
I'll go.
Like that guy from the Patriots a year that had the vision about having the interception. Remember that? They caught the INT to beat the Seahawks. And he was he was like, I had a vision and I was going to, yeah. So anyways, go ahead.
I would say when it's I think it's kind of what we talked about when they're preaching the word, regardless. If you're giving, you know, the gospel, regardless of what you kind of think about it, it's different, you know, or what regardless of the intention of what you're using it for. If someone hears it, it's still there and hearing the gospel as long as it's being shared correctly. I do, however, think when guys will only ever really quote scripture before they're playing a game and they're like Philippians 4:13, or they only quote like really specific things and there's really no other area of their life where you see that, I think that that's not good, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that a lot, is people who, it's almost like they will use it kind of for their own good in the moment. Mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, like I want to glorify God because I'm
easy to praise God on the mountaintop.
All these people can see me. I'm kind of in public eyes. But, I mean, at least you can even say it for, you know, all the way down to kids who are playing like high school sports, all the way up to, you know, professional athletes. I mean, people are seeing them. They're able to.
Local celebrities.
Yeah, they're able to be seen. And it paints you in a good light if you're praying in the end zone or you're, you know, putting Bible verses on your cleats or your gloves. But it's kind of like what we said whenever it pertains to kind of famous people, you know, how they live their life compared to us, like in front of a camera, not in front of a camera. How you kind of act outside of that says much more about you than how you act.
And the Lord knows those things.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say personally, I've seen a lot of good examples of people who you can tell are trying to kind of weave those things into their life, who you can tell are like kind of becoming more faithful. They're trying to, you know, become a better Christian and also kind of show that in the way they kind of interact with their sport. And you also see other people who objectively do it like only when people can see them, and they're only like reading, like doing their, like putting their Bible verses on stuff whenever people can see it. So yeah, I think you see two sides. You see two sides because you see some people who are legitimately becoming believers or are believers who are trying to kind of thread the needle of how do I work this in with playing sports, and other people who are saying like, yes, I'm an athlete and I'm also like kind of a Christian sometimes.
Yeah. What I kind of compare that to, because I do completely agree, I always, it's probably the wrong way to do it, but I always kind of had a problem with guys that I would play football, basketball, baseball with, who, like, they would, like, on their wrist tape, put a Bible verse or write it on their shoes or their cleats or something. And, like, I would hang out with these dudes or see them, and their lifestyle is just complete contradictory.
Yep.
And the whole time I'm thinking, either one, you're just a terrible believer in the fact that you are not representing Christ at all, or two, and more likely, I don't think you're saved to begin with, and you're just kind of throwing it out there. What I think about that we see a lot of times in our culture is, how many people do you know that wear like a cross necklace, but yet they don't even go to church?
They don't believe in Jesus.
Dude, isn't there a song that's like, why do you wear a Jesus piece? You don't even believe
Kodak
in Jesus.
Black.
Was that Kodak? I don't know. But I've heard that line before.
You got a Jesus piece.
But that's kind of what I compare it to.
There's also Pozzano's Wildin' by Andy Mineo. He says he has a Buddha necklace on. He's like, I'm just, y'all rocking Jesus pieces. I'm just doing what y'all doing, wearing stuff I don't believe in.
Yeah.
That's what it says right there.
Yeah.
I'm also,
so
the Kodak box.
I kind of look at it like that too, that our culture.
Okay. So if I'm listening to this and that's me, I'm on the football team, I got teammates that I feel like are doing, that are sort of engaging in this practice you're talking about, what do I do? Because I think there's an answer, but what do I do?
Practical way,
share the gospel.
Okay, I used to go up to my teammates and I would say, hey, what does that verse say? And I hate to admit it, majority of the time they'd be like, I don't know. And so I do that to our youth sometimes. They'll have a verse in their bio. And I'll say, hey, I love this verse. Can you tell me about it? I don't even know what it is. Not saying that to be judgmental or anything, but, you know, try to make it practical. Like, why are you actually doing that?
Mm. I would say,
rather than just like a look at me type thing.
Yeah, when it comes to being on the team with people, I definitely would say sharing the gospel, which is obviously very, very obvious. But also, I mean, all of y'all know this, but my last two seasons playing football, we did pregame devotionals. And the last season, I was in charge of getting people to come do it. And I made it very intentional to get people to come in who I knew would talk more about Jesus and the gospel than football. and that it was a that was a positive throughout the season, because I saw a bunch of people who would legitimately listen, you know, who would listen, who would learn a lot, who would, you know, who were kind of being changed over the course of the season because they were hearing these people come in pregame be like, hey, like, football is important, it's fun, but Jesus died for your sins, mm-hmm. and he cares about you, and this is how you live for him, and XYZ. So, I mean, practically, I think that's the best way in my experience, but that also could be, you know, a roadblock for some people. So that's what I would say.
Practically, truthfully, I'm a little convicted as well, because as we're talking about this and kind of talking about, well, people are kind of doing this stuff to be flashy or to get attention, I also then go back to Philippians and what is Paul's conclusion of that? People are being flashy and doing it for their own attention. Well, he says, well, Christ is being proclaimed. So, you know, praise the Lord for that. So it kind of convicted me, like, well, maybe John Harmon's being way too legalistic in that matter. Like you said, people have different ends of the spectrum. You know, at the end of the day, I just need to be like, well, hey, praise the Lord that his name is even being proclaimed out there, yeah. even if it is for selfish ambition.
Yeah, man, who knows what our powerful God can do through a Bible verse being written on something. Even if the athlete's not a Christian, but say someone sees it, looks it up, bam, figures it out. I don't know. I'm not going to say what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. God can work in crazy ways.
So I would say if that's me, I agree with most of what Jar's saying. I would say if that's me, there's really two things you ought to do. The first thing you ought to do is just lead by example. Like, if I'm going to wear Bible verses, I'm going to know them. Like, I love to wear 116 merch. I get asked all the time when I wear a hoodie that has a gigantic 116 on it. People are like, what is that for? I'm like, oh, it's a Bible verse. What's a Bible verse? What's Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power to save all who will believe, Jews first, then Gentiles. So you just lead by example and saying, like, if I'm going to be the guy that's also going to publicly profess to be a believer, not be like those other people that may not be walking the walk and talking the talk, just be the guy that does. I think another thing you also do is you find really loving but challenging ways to push people to see the error of their way, if it is indeed an error of their way. Like, hey, man, I love that you do that. I'm a believer too. Like, where do you go to church at? What do these things mean to you? Like, maybe they really are searching for something, and they're trying to, like, maybe they're trying to be like you, mm-hmm. and they've never articulated that.
Great Lecrae song.
But they're really trying to find a purpose or something, and that's the only way they know how to do it. They're kind of searching for a meaning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sort of the bow I'll put on my celebrity conversation is really just this. At the end of the day, I wouldn't make too much out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Celebrities are not your pastor. Christian artists are not your pastor. They're not your local church. You don't hold them to the standard that you wouldn't hold yourself to, and you don't hold them to the standard that you wouldn't hold somebody you know really well to, because you don't know them really well.
Yeah.
There are people that you would charge hell with a squirt gun for that are living in sin when they get off stage, and there are people that have never said a word that are baptized bona fide believers. Mm. So,
did you just say charge hell with a squirt gun?
Yeah.
Great quote.
That is sweet.
Yeah. That's sort of my general take, is I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about it. But the Bible does tell us, my only warning to offer, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. I'm not going to call evil things or an evil person good when they very obviously are not. And I'm not going to call a good person or good things evil when they very obviously are not. I think it's fine to live life in sound bites. I really wish that Chris Pratt would not claim to be a believer and then take roles in movies where he has to do things like have sex scenes. But I don't know Chris Pratt personally. I'm still going to call that bad and sinful. I think it's bad. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to call him lost. I think maybe a little misguided, maybe the wrong call. Just like I'm not going to hear Justin Fields do a post-game press conference and think he ought to be my pastor now. I'm glad that he said those things. I think they're true. I think he's probably saved. But I'm not going to call him to be my associate, you know, because I don't know him personally. And the fact that he has to live his life on a camera is really not fair to him for me to cast judgment on that in totality. So I just don't. I wouldn't really sweat it too much.
And overall, what I'll say as my closing thing, like, there are those who are professing, famous people, athletes, whatever, who really aren't, then woe to them. Or pushing something that's false, woe to them. But then there's those.
They're going to have to answer for that, not me.
Yeah. And then there's those that are true professing Christians. Like, I'll say, for example, I'll go out and say it, that, man, James Winston for the Giants is leading Bible studies.
Yeah,
shout out James Winston.
And also giving us really great quotes.
Yeah. We love James Winston. Constantly quoting scripture stuff. And
this is
Bible
a James
studies.
Winston victory podcast.
Victory belongs to the Lord.
Yeah. So someone like that,
we get to
play
in the snow today.
What a famous person to have on a team, to be around a bunch of famous athletes, a bunch of football players, to also push the gospel. Mm. I mean, that's sick.
So So from what I've heard from Cooper, and really everybody, but Cooper said it well, there's a side to this of perhaps showing way too much grace, and mm-hmm. there's a side perhaps of showing way too much
judgment.
Judgment, yeah, I would kind of say like too much truth of it, like, yeah, where you become judgmental, but we need to find a good equal ground, or even ground. And I love how you said that, especially celebrities, like, we know about that much, like a small amount of what they've said and what they truly believe based on a few videos. So yeah. It's probably very, very ignorant of us to make just judgments and assumptions too far. Maybe we need to be a little more gracious.
There's more to my testimony and your testimony than meets the eye. And so that's why true. Is the same not true for them?
That's very true. Yep. And I love that you said almost all their stuff is caught on camera. Yeah. And so, I mean, they're really held under a microscope. And so I remember when we first started this podcast, we were like, you know, there's some things we might not need to say because even we're putting ourselves out there, even if it's just to a few people. So
even if it's just to Emma and Matt GPT.
Yeah. So that's a great point.
Shout out Emma and Matt GPT. Listen. And David Saldo.
Yep. Shout out Dad. Few who listen.
Summer told me the other day, she said, I don't think I've listened to one of your podcasts. I said, man, thank you for Summer.
You know what? Let me just go on record and say, and then we'll close here because Gabe's got to go to Food Line. I love my wife tremendously. I would dare say she'll probably never listen to a word of this podcast. But in her defense, everything I've said on this podcast, she's had to hear me say for 4.5 years.
Yep.
So she's not, she would listen to every episode and learn nothing new that I had to say because I say it while we're riding down the road.
You need to start like subtly dropping hints throughout the day of like listening to podcasts.
Yep.
Like get a sticker and put it on the wall.
My wife's a big phone call person. She usually calls people while she's driving. She doesn't really listen to much. And if she does listen to anything, it's the Wicked soundtrack. So
the Wicked soundtrack?
Yeah.
Dude, I love that soundtrack.
Wicked was a good movie.
Dude. I didn't really care for the movie. I thought it was kind of weird, but they can sing.
I thought they were pretty good, and I'd never really seen it. So anyways, that's all I got to say. Anybody else?
Shout out my family who's listening, whoever it is. I know mom and dad are, so shout out you.
Shout out Lucas's mom and dad.
Yep.
Big dogs.
Shout out Jameis Winston.
Shout out Jameis Winston.
Eat a dub.
At Florida State, if we're going to do it then, we're going to do it big then. Gabe, got anything to say? Long live Food Line.
I love my mom. Long live Food Line. Shout out my boy Marcel. About to go put some produce up with him.
Shout out Marcel, for real.
He's going to grab a Bev on the way.
All right, boys.
Later. Go to church this Sunday.
Bye, guys.